Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease. The doctors of the future are here." Welcome to Blue Zone Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Hi, and welcome to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you for joining me here on BlueZoneWellness.org or on blogtalkradio.com or wherever you may be listening in the world. If you've listened to me before, you know I'm a traditionally trained naturopathic doctor with a practice and a ministry located in Orlando, Florida. And I approach natural medicine from a Christian perspective. Remember, every Sunday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m., join me right here on BlueZoneWellness.org as we discuss some of the cutting-edge remedies and therapies in natural alternative medicine. Again, we'll be following our usual outline today, with the exception of our herbal supplement, healing supplement, a segment we won't do today because we want to spend a little bit more time in the natural news review segment. So we'll pick up next week, usually what is our third segment, where we talk about a healing herb or a healing supplement. In fact, we will be going over some supplements early on in this first segment, where we'll be talking about how some supplements actually that are very good for urinary tract infections. But that would normally we will be discussing specifically about herbs or supplements as we normally do in our third segment. It just happened to be an article that we came across that we'll be discussing. Again, welcome to BlueZoneWellness.org. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. And just like to remind you, you can follow me on Twitter at BlueZoneWellness. Just go to @BlueZoneWellness and follow me on Twitter. Also, you can send me a Facebook friend request at facebook.com/naturedoc. Again, at facebook.com/NateDoc. We have a very interesting show for you here today. We're going to be talking about quite a few subjects. We have quite a bit to cover, but we're not going to linger too long here in this introductory phase of the show. Again, welcome all of my listeners from here in the U.S., wherever you may be listening, as well as my friends over in Costa Rica and from where you may be located in the world. Thanks for listening. We are going to take a brief break, and I'm going to come back, and we're going to start with our very first article. And again, if you've listened before, if you haven't listened before, the Weekend Natural News Review is where we take articles that have come out during the past week dealing with studies or new studies that have come out or some new angle on dealing with disease or something, and we talk about it and discuss it and analyze it. And I give my feedback on based on my hands-on practice that I do. And just to give another perspective of someone who's actually doing this day in and day out. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with brief messages. Don't go anywhere. Hang in.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
You are listening to Blue Zone Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry on BlueZoneWellness.org. Be sure to join us here every week at the same time. You can also listen at blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. There you can also download the app and listen to the archived versions on your smartphone. So from Blue Zone Wellness, here's to your health.
Men, have trouble getting your stream to start? Look for a men's room everywhere you go? Need to go so urgently you can't wait? Worry about impotence, sexual dysfunction, and cancer? then you need our best-selling supplement, Maximum Prostate. Each Maximum Prostate capsule contains 300 milligrams of pure natural mixed beta-cytosterols from plant sources. That's as much beta-cytosterol content as 3,000 capsules of dried saw palmetto berries. Men all over the U.S. and other countries are experiencing the amazing benefits of Maximum Prostate. You can join them now. To the listeners of Blue Zone Wellness, we are offering you two bottles of Maximum Prostate for just $39.95 plus shipping. Just go to MaximumProstate.net and place your order right now. That's MaximumProstate.net and join the numerous other men who have experienced the power of Maximum Prostate.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Thank you again for listening in here, and just be sure to join me every week from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on BlueZoneWellness.org. Also, remember, if you're listening and you can call in with a question or a comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. And we're going to go ahead and start our first article here now. And this first article was published in the 6th, maybe about 4 days ago. And it talks about what time you eat matters more than how much you eat, study finds. And this plays a big role if you're listening, if you've been trying to lose weight. Now, this is something that as a naturopath, that I was really surprised about this, because this is one of the things that I recommend, is to pay a very close attention to the times you eat, the regularity of the time that you eat, the regularity of your meals overall. These are some of the basic tenets that I follow in my practice and recommending to clients, etc. And this particular article started off by saying, in trying to gain or maintain a healthy weight, how much you eat may actually matter less than the timing of your meals, according to a surprising study conducted by researchers from Brigham and Women's Hospital, Tufts University, and the University of Mercia, and published in the Internal Journal of Obesity. Now, this study went on to point out how basically the earlier that you eat in the day, the better likely, or rather, let me change that. If you eat your larger meal early in the day, and especially if you're trying to lose weight, even if you're not trying to lose weight, it would help you lose weight quicker. So if your largest meal really should be early in the day. I always recommend eating your largest meal during the early morning hours of what we call breakfast. And if you eat your largest meal then, and eat your the next meal should be smaller than the original meal. And the third meal, if you eat a third meal, should be smaller at all. Actually, I recommend if you eat a third of that all, it may be having some fruit, something very, very light, and not eating that third meal sooner than about 3 hours before you go to bed. Now, this particular study went on to point out dealt with people who were obese. And the article says, this is the first large-scale prospective study to demonstrate the timing of meals predicts weight loss effectiveness. Pointed out the senior author of the study, Frank Skier. He said, quote, our results suggest that the timing of large meals could be an important factor in a weight loss program. The study was conducted on 420 overweight people who were categorized as either early eaters or late eaters, depending upon the time of day at which they preferred to eat their large meal. Because the particular study was conducted in Spain, the largest of the day is actually lunch. So anyone who ate lunch before 3 p.m. was classified as an early eater in this particular study, while anyone who ate lunch after 3 p.m. was classified as a late eater. And it says the average participant consumed about 40% of their daily calories at their large meal. All of the participants were enrolled in this 20-week weight loss treatment program. And rather, 20-week weight loss treatment program. And at the end of the program, the early eaters had lost significantly more weight than the late eaters and had lost weight more quickly. The late eaters also demonstrated a lower insulin sensitivity, indicating that they were at a higher risk for diabetes than the early eaters. So two things the study pointed out, and this is one of the reasons that a bottle naturopath, or those who are familiar with people who need to lose weight, which is really not only losing weight, but when someone has a disease, whatever it is, and if obesity or weight is involved, that's always a risk factor, whatever the disease is. So it has to be taken into account. But this is one of the things that I personally, as a naturopath, have always recommended, that the largest meal actually be in the day. Now, this is the, actually just those who were eating their largest meal prior to 3 p.m. And even with that, they received, in terms of this weight loss study, those who ate their meal, the largest meal earlier, have lost weight. Not only they lose more weight, but they lost weight more quickly. So here again, eat your breakfast like a king, not to gluttony. I should remind you of that. Don't be a glutton. That happened. That actually being a glutton actually destroys the digestive organ. It also, over time, destroys your nervous system. So eat your large meal. Your breakfast should be your largest meal. Should be eaten like a king. Your lunch should be eaten like a prince. And dinner, if eaten at all, should be eaten like a pauper. This is one of the things that if you're trying to lose weight, you should follow this. The study went on to say that the article goes on to say that researchers found no difference between calorie intake, energy expenditure, sleep duration, or level of the appetite-related hormones, leptin, ghrelin, between the early and the late eaters. This suggested that the timing of the meal was in itself a significant factor influencing their weight loss. This study emphasizes that the timing of food intake may play a significant role in weight regulation, said the lead author of the study. And he went on to say further that novel therapeutic strategies should incorporate not only calorie intake and macronutrient distribution as is classically done, but also the timing of the food. The researchers could not explain why meal timing appeared to be so important, but it suggests that it may have something to do with the body's internal clock or circadian rhythm, which scientists are increasingly finding to play a role in many bodily processes. And the author of this article also quoted again one of the participants, one of the study doctors, and he's quoting him. He says the body deals differently with food depending on the time of day. For instance, glucose is cleared more easily from the bloodstream in the morning than in the evening. And if glucose is not going to the organs and tissues, where it is needed for energy, it could end up being deposited as fat. The article goes on to say further, it remains unclear whether the study has implications for countries who eat their largest meal in the day, late in the day, as such as in the United States. Well, I can tell you, even though the study might not have pointed out anything specific about the U.S., I can tell you with great certainty that this is one of the reasons that we have such a big problem with obesity and overweight, is because we're eating large meals late in the evening when the body is actually beginning to wind down. And so as the body begins to wind down, as the study found out, as I just read, the majority of the body's work is done early in the day, and as the article pointed out, the body deals differently with food depending on the time of day which we eat it. And as I said earlier, the glucose is cleared more easily from the bloodstream in the morning than in the evening, because remember the circadian rhythm which the body is working on. The later it gets in the evening, the body begins to slow down and begin to prepare for us to go to bed and to get rest and go into a totally different phase. But what do we see in the United States? We see people at restaurants at 8 and 9, 10 in the evening, eating large 3 and 4 course meals. They're going to have problems with weight. They're going to have problems with obesity. They're going to have problems with overweight in general. If you want to lose weight, if you're on some type of weight loss program, which I don't actually recommend being on a weight loss program, it should be a lifestyle. Its lifestyle should include eating your largest meal in the morning, and then eating. If you're going to eat lunch, it should be smaller than the meal that you ate for breakfast, and then your dinner, if eaten at all, should be something very light, like maybe some fruit or something of that nature. So again, if you're losing weight, or you're trying to lose weight, you need to integrate that into your your lifestyle program, altering the amount of food you eat and when you eat. We have a call coming in. Hello? Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, what about lifting weights?
You said what about lifting weights?
Yeah, does that help?
You mean does that help in terms of losing weight, or does it help overall? Is that your question?
Yeah, that's.
Well, lifting weights, it helps to the degree that muscle, the more muscle you have, it helps in terms of with your metabolism. Lifting weight per se, any type of exercise is going to benefit you overall. But muscle mass does help with metabolism. So if you want to lose fat, it could help. But at the same time, muscle is heavier than fat. So you could gain weight and yet lose fat. So that would be it would help from that angle. Yes.
Do you take karate classes?
Do I take karate classes?
Yes.
No.
Oh, I do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
For exercise besides karate classes and lifting weights?
I don't know. I'm just the toughest motherfucker in there, you know?
Well, we can't have
big time cash.
Well, we have to cut that off. We don't allow that type of language on this show. So we're going to move on to our next article, which is called, it's also was published on the 8th, February the 8th, which was a couple of days ago, and it was entitled, Loneliness May Actually Cause Physical Illness. That's another thing that we talk about, is that the mindset. If you've listened to this show before, you know that the mind is very, very, a very, very important issue when it comes to health and healing. And you've heard me say before, if you listen quite frequently, that 9/10 of all of your diseases that you will have originate in the mind. Again, it's not that they're just in your mind specifically. And some people, it's in their mind. But in reality, 9/10 of all diseases will have their origin in mind. And because of negative thoughts, many times anger, suspicion, these create an internal environment that's acid. It also creates an internal environment that is disease producing. And so negative thoughts of loneliness, thoughts of regret, guilt, these types of things break down the life forces. The life forces is basically the genetic code, if you will, that determines the amount of time that you're going to live. And you can basically borrow from your energy. Say for instance, if you're going to live to be 80 or 90 normally, if you're not killed in an accident of some sort or something happens, say you're basically going to live to be 80 or 90, you can actually borrow, depending on your lifestyle, you can actually borrow from your future life forces, if you will, electrical unity. Energy, if you will, you can actually borrow from that amount of time of life forces that's been allotted to you by keeping late hours, by not exercising, by negative thoughts, feelings. These things wear away at the life forces, and you can actually reduce your life by the amount of time that you would have lived by lifestyle choices, and especially by negative emotions. Now, we're going to look at this and analyze this article that was published on the 8th of February, which was entitled Loneliness May Cause Physical Illness. And the article started off by saying, feeling lonely disrupts the immune system and may lead to many of the same health problems as chronic stress, according to a pair of studies conducted by researchers from Ohio State University and presented at the annual meeting of the Society for Personality at Social Psychology in New Orleans. It goes on to say that it is clear from previous research that poor quality relationships are linked to a number of health problems, including premature mortality and all sorts of other very serious health conditions, and people who are lonely clearly feel like they are in poor quality relationships, one of the researchers, Lisa Jarmarker, said from this study. Now, here's a study from Ohio State University, and they're basically telling us basically what most of us in the natural health community have used and practiced for years, that the body cannot be detached from the mind, that your thoughts, your emotions, they all have a role. There's a very close connection between the mental and the physical and the emotional. And so here's a study from Ohio State now coming out, again, confirming this and pointing out that it is clear from previous research that poor quality relationships are linked to a number of health problems, including premature mortality or premature death. That's just from mental issues, emotional issues, and all sorts of other serious health conditions, one of the researchers pointed out. And in the first study that was conducted on 200 breast cancer survivors who had completed their treatment within 2 months and 3 years before the start of the study, the average participant's age was 51, and all participants had their loneliness assessed by a questionnaire on perception of isolation and loneliness called the UCLA Loneliness Scale. Their blood was also tested for levels of antibodies against two separate varieties of herpes, of the herpes virus. And a majority of U.S. adults actually are infected with both herpes viruses, the ones used in this particular study. One was the Epstein-Star, the Epstein-Barr virus, and the other being the cytomegalovirus. And so, therefore, the article goes on to point out that by studying the blood and by studying the activation of the herpes virus in those who carry it, which the majority of the people do carry it, they could get a very good idea of what degree stress was affecting the overall lifestyle of the participants. In other words, stress is one of the things that activates the herpes virus. And so they were using this as a marker to determine the level of how the emotions of the people were affecting their health. So in other words, if you have the herpes virus that's lying latent in your body and you get into a stressful situation, and most times people will have a breakout. They will have you will see the sores along the side of their mouth or wherever the herpes virus decides to manifest itself at the initial location of where typically entered the body, the virus entered the body. And so they were using this as one of the markers to help them determine how loneliness affects the body. The article went on to say, moreover, that the researchers found that participants who ranked higher on their loneliness test also had higher levels of cytomegalovirus antibodies, indicating a lowered immune function. They also reported higher levels of pain, depression, and fatigue. And levels of Epstein-Barr antibodies were not affected by loneliness, but the researchers speculated that no effect might have been seen because the Epstein-Barr virus tends to reactivate more later in life, and many of the participants were older in age. The findings suggest, according to this article, that like stress, loneliness may also cause pressure on the immune system. Loneliness has been thought of in many ways as a chronic stressor, said the lead researcher, Jarmarker. She said a socially painful situation that can last for quite a long time is how she defined loneliness. So basically, it's almost common sense that loneliness is a negative emotion, and loneliness is one of those things that tend to occur over a long amount of time. So it's almost common sense that it would have an emotional effect rather. The study went on to say, the article goes on to say further in talking about loneliness and boosting inflammation in the body. It says that the second study was conducted on 144 of the women from the first study, plus 134 additional adults, all of whom were both middle-aged and overweight and who had no major health problem. The researchers collected blood from participants just before requiring them to perform two stressful tasks, solving a mental math problem and also giving an impromptu 5-minute speech while being videotaped in front of three panelists. The participants were then given a bacterial chemical in order to stimulate an immune response. The researchers found that lonelier people had significantly higher levels of at least two separate inflammation markers. And inflammation is a healthy part, actually, inflammation is actually a healthy part of the immune system and therefore a sign of immune stress. So the chronic inflammation is associated with a number of serious health problems, including cardiovascular disease, dementia, type 2 diabetes, arthritis, and many of the symptoms that we see in aging. And so as the lead author of the study pointed out, it's also important to remember the flip side, that which is that people who feel very socially connected are experiencing more positive outcomes. So here we have another connection of loneliness being an emotional, which is an emotional feeling, actually affecting the body, affecting the immune system, affecting the ability of the body to fight off viruses and bacteria simply because people are lonely. And many times, you know, we know that people can be in relationships or be working around people and yet be lonely. And so here, because we here at Phase 3/Blue Zone Wellness, we believe that most loneliness needs to be first dealt with first spiritually. Because all mental disease or mental or emotional problems, and maybe loneliness is not necessarily an emotional problem per se, but chronic long-term loneliness could be. And so you have to deal with these issues spiritually first and foremost, emotionally, physically, all parts of the man, of the human being must be dealt with for true healing. Because if the loneliness is not dealt with, or the spiritual side is not dealt with, if you're not just drilling down to find out, okay, why, what's causing the loneliness? Why are you lonely? You have to ask these pertinent questions. And until you drill down and find out what is causing the loneliness, that's only then can you determine what the problem is. Some people are lonely and they don't even realize why they're lonely. And so this is why you have to look at it from all sides, physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. All these areas have to be investigated and dealt with in order for these things to occur. For if a person has a physical abnormality or disease and the root cause is loneliness or some other emotional issue, and that issue is not dealt with, then the physical issue is not going to go away. Because if the root core is emotional or spiritual and it's manifested itself in the physical body, then it's impossible to correct it if the underlying cause is emotional or spiritual. So this is very important. Why it's very important for doctors and practitioners to understand the spiritual as well as the emotional side if they intend to get positive results for their patients or their clients, etc. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. We're going to go into our next article here before we take a break. Our next article is actually an article that deals with how to beat recurring urinary tract infections without using prescription drugs. How to beat recurring. So we're going to deal with one article here that deals with an issue that normally afflicts women, which is urinary tract infection. Sometimes men get them, but women get them a lot more frequently. And then we're going to look at another article after this one before we go to break. We're going to talk about how fried foods actually significantly increases the likelihood of men developing aggressive prostate cancer. So this is going to be very interesting. Now, if you're listening, if you're a woman, if you've had urinary tract infections or you have daughters or someone in your family that have recurrent urinary tract infections, you'll be pleased to hear this particular segment. Now, as I said before, it's very, very important to understand the emotional side of a urinary tract infection or any disease. I had a client some years ago, and she had been to all kinds of doctors. And for years and years and years, she had these recurring urinary tract infections, and nothing was helping. And so after the assessment, determined that she had not, she had blamed herself for the death of her mother, even though it wasn't her fault. Her mother had gone to the hospital, and she felt that she should have taken her mother out of the hospital. She felt that the hospital had actually, they had done some things that had actually led to her mother's death, but she blamed herself. And even during the discussion, she would break down and weep because she blamed herself for her mother's death. She had never forgiven herself. And as we just, went through the assessment, I was able to determine this is the cause. For 7 years, she had been dealing with this issue. And because her emotional state was such, and blaming herself, it was causing her immune system to be broken down, as we just looked at from the study from Ohio State. It was causing her immune system to be so compromised that she was having these infections. She tried all of these different things, and I told her, I said, listen, you have to forgive yourself, and unless you do, you are not going to get well. You're going to continue to have these issues, and if it keeps on, your immune system is going to become so weakened until you're going to be opened up for other attacks of microorganisms, viruses, and bacteria, etc. And this is one of the things, until we are able to get that dealt with, because that in this particular case, that was the root cause of the infections. Now, if the root cause of the infection would have been something else, then that would have been something to be dealt with. But in this particular case, the root cause of her issues was that she was causing her immune system to be compromised because of her emotions. So let's move on to this particular article. Talks about how to beat recurring urinary tract infection without prescription drugs. And the author, again, this one is from naturalnews.com. And the author starts off by talking about how conventional medicine has little to offer in the way of treating chronic urinary tract infections, or UTIs, other than to prescribe heavy doses of antibiotic drugs and perhaps recommend that patients get more rest. But oftentimes, these commonplace methods are not enough to provide lasting relief. And in the case of antibiotics, many actually make the problem worse, because many UTI patients, a combination of dietary changes and supplementation, not more drugs, is what is actually needed to achieve real relief from this persistent and oftentimes painful condition, says the author. And the author gives 7 alternative ways to fight back against recurring UTIs without the need for even more. I'll cut out one that he mentions, but I'll mention, and I'll replace that with another one. I replace that with either colloidal silver, which is a very popular antibiotic, natural antibiotic, or even grapefruit seed extract. But let me go ahead and talk about the article here. The first thing he mentions is get plenty of vitamin D. He goes on to point out that a 2011 study published in the journal PLOS One found that vitamin D helps increase production of special antimicrobial peptides in the body that ward off bacteria, fungi, and viruses, including those implicated in triggering urinary tract infections. He also points out the researchers from Sweden found that boosting vitamin D levels, which can be achieved through supplementation with vitamin D3 or regular exposure to natural sunlight or ultraviolet B rays from tanning red bulbs, is an effective way to boost to both prevent and treat chronic UTIs. So again, you've heard me talk about what type of vitamin D you should take, D3. If you haven't, you can go back on to blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness and listen to any of the archives. We have a lot of information. We talk about the difference between the type of vitamin D you should be taking, how if you're getting plenty of sunshine, natural vitamin D, you really may not need a supplement, but if you're not, then you may need a supplement. With vitamin D3, I recommend the liquid. And also, you need to, if you're taking a supplement, you need to eat large amounts of green leafy vegetables, or you can get to a K2 deficiency. If you're not eating large amounts of raw fruits and vegetables, green leafy vegetables especially, and you're taking a vitamin D3 supplement, you're going into other issues. So again, you don't have to take a D3 supplement if you're getting plenty of sunshine. I recommend the sunshine needs to hit on your skin, and you need to be getting, I recommend, at least 30 to 45 minutes of sunshine a day. If you're not getting that much, you should be taking a vitamin D3, preferably liquid supplement. And if you're taking that supplement, again, you need to be eating copious amounts of green leafy vegetables to get your K2. And if you're not, then you need to be taking a K2 supplement. But you can go back and listen at previous shows where we've talked about D3 and the importance of taking it. So if you have, if you're a woman and you have frequent UTI infections, it's one of the things that you need to, you may want to look into implementing. Is getting out in the fresh air, sunshine, getting lots of vitamin D3 every day, or either taking a D3 supplement to help with your immune system. Also, a lot of people are familiar with taking the cranberry juice. There are numerous, as this article points out, there are numerous studies over the years that have found that eating cranberries or drinking cranberry juice regularly can help prevent the bacteria and other pathogens responsible for causing urinary tract infections from taking hold inside the body. And one of the more recent studies he points out to come to this conclusion, which was published in the journal Archives of Internal Medicine in 2012, revealed that urinary tract infection patients who regularly drink cranberry juice are nearly 40% less likely than those who do not drink it to develop UTIs such as cystitis. So here we have, again, drinking. Now, let me clarify, because oftentimes I see people, women, who say, well, you know, can I just drink the cranberry juice from Walmart or from the grocery store? No. Go to the health food store and buy real cranberry juice. And it's very bitter. But the cranberry juice that you typically get in the grocery store, even though it may say 100% juice, you have to realize that they have, many of the food producers and manufacturers have a lot of leeway with what they can put in and tell you that they're putting in and not putting in. So your best bet is to go and to just buy some cranberries and eat them, you know, not infrequently, or to buy the cranberry juice at the health food store. And it would typically be, and you would know that it's real cranberry juice, because when you drink it, it would be very bitter, and your taste buds will let you know that it's real cranberry juice. And so that's what you want to take. And the studies show, again, that women, one study pointed out, again, as I said a minute ago, in the Journal Archives of Internal Medicine, published back in 2012, revealed that urinary tract infection patients who regularly drink cranberry juice are about 40% less likely than those who do not drink it to develop these UTIs. Now, the author also points out further in this particular article, he talks about supplementing with D-mannose, which is a naturally occurring healthy sugar compound found in cranberries. And he talks about how it's a very powerful weapon in the fight against urinary tract infections, and it's also believed to be the primary active ingredient in cranberries. And they point out how isolated D-mannose is up to 50 times stronger than cranberries at targeting UTIs, which means it may even be a preferred treatment method over just cranberries alone. And again, I suspect that if you are in a if you're having a continuing issues with it, the first thing that I noticed earlier, you have to point and look at if any emotional issues, but you also have to look at your overall diet. It's not just an idea of eating a really bad diet and then taking some cranberry juice to offset it. That's not a lifestyle change, because you don't just want health where you're not having problems with urinary tract infection, but you want overall good health just in general. And so again, I would also recommend in a situation like this, very, very high dosages of FCC vitamin C with biflavonoids, colloidal silver, grapefruit seed extract, golden seal, if you have a if you're dealing with this, especially when you have what I would call a live infection. Also, this article, he points out, if you are serious about ending the reign of UTI terror in your life, he says you may need to cut back on your carbohydrate intake. Again, he's not talking about complex carbohydrates, but simple carbohydrates like white bread, and pasta, white pasta, and cookies and crackers and other snack or comfort foods. These are all typically high in simple carbohydrates and refined sugar, and both of which fuel the bacteria and the fungi responsible for causing urinary tract infection in the first place. And he points out how the common yeast overgrowth, Candida albicans, for instance, can actually lead to outbreaks of thrush, and it actually thrives in a high sugar environment. And so it's pretty common knowledge that this type of sugar actually feeds. It feeds bacteria, it feeds viruses, it feeds cancer. And so, again, it's better for you to make decisions overall to actually help prevent these things from occurring. But these are just some of the supplements and things that you can take and things you can do to help eliminate recurring urinary tract infections without prescription drugs. Again, this is look at another one he points out. He points out taking herbal antiseptics like uriurce and dandelion leaf. That is very true. He says a common treatment option employed by naturopaths and herbalists are herbal antiseptics like uriurce and dandelion leaf, and they are a very effective way at treat and prevent UTIs, he writes. He writes further, uriurce is an herb also known as bearberry, and has been extensively studied and shown to promote renal circulation, stimulate tubular function, and ultimately maintain a healthy urinary tract, particularly in conjunction with alkaline-forming foods. Similarly, dandelion leaf has been shown to increase urine flow and help cleanse the urinary tract, particularly when taken in conjunction with uriurce. And finally, he points out taking probiotics, which I totally agree with as well. He points out that the Lagone Medical Center at New York University recommends supplementing with living probiotics by to help prevent UTIs, and particularly those are originating in the bladder. Based on the results of a double-blind trial involving 453 women who experienced regular and recurring bladder infections, probiotic blends containing a unique and harmless strain of probiotics were found to be especially effective at treating and curing UTIs with a reported success rate of about 34%. Now, if they were able to obtain a 34% success rate with just the probiotics alone, imagine if you combine the probiotics with the herbal antiseptics like uriurce and dandelion leaf with very, very high doses of vitamin C for a short amount of time, with colloidal silver, with grapefruit seed extract, with eliminating the sugars and the simple carbohydrates out of the body, integrating also in this program cranberry juice and very, very high doses of vitamin D3 and vitamin C for a short amount of time. Imagine how just effective an attack like that against one of these urinary tract infections could be. And it could be done rather quickly on top of that. Again, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Blue Zone Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Don't go anywhere. We're going to come right back and talk about how eating fried foods actually greatly increases your risk of developing aggressive prostate cancer. And then we're going to go over into our healing foods section. And we're going to talk about how junk food is actually linked to asthma in children. And we're going to talk about how fruits and vegetables are actually a way to overcome asthma. And our last article, we're going to talk about how you can lower your breast cancer, again, still in our healing food segment, how you can lower your breast cancer risk by the consumption of fruits and vegetables, eating in line, as I say always, with the rainbow. I'll be right back after these brief messages.
You are listening to Blue Zone Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry on BlueZoneWellness.org. Be sure to join us here every week at the same time. You can also listen at blogtalkradio.com/BlueZoneWellness. There you can also download the app and listen to the archive versions on your smartphone. So from Blue Zone Wellness, here's to your health.
Do you know anyone that has health issues? Of course you do. Have you noticed the rise in popularity of natural therapies and alternative medicine? Sure you have. Have you ever wondered if alternative therapies work? Or if it's just all quackery, then you need to visit the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Keith Henry, ND, is trained in natural naturopathy and provides amazing insight at the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog that he has gained from years of hands-on experience. Check it out after this show at phase3ministries.com/WordPress.
Men, have trouble getting your stream to start? Look for a men's room everywhere you go? Need to go so urgently you can't wait? Worry about impotence, sexual dysfunction, and cancer? Then you need our best-selling supplement, Maximum Prostate. Each Maximum Prostate capsule contains 300 milligrams of pure natural mixed beta-cytosterols from plant sources. That's as much beta-cytosterol content as 3,000 capsules of dried saw palmetto berries. Men all over the U.S. and other countries are experiencing the amazing benefits of Maximum Prostate. You can join them now. To the listeners of Blue Zone Wellness, we are offering you 2 bottles of Maximum Prostate for just $39.95 plus shipping. Just go to MaximumProstate.net and place your order right now. That's MaximumProstate.net, and join the numerous other men who have experienced the power of Maximum Prostate.
Welcome back to Blue Zone Wellness. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We're going to pivot after this article here. We're going to go into our healing food segment for the last 15 minutes or so of the show. Again, we've been talking about several articles today, and we're going to blend the second and third segment. Basically, we're not going to have the third segment today, which is typically a healing herb or a supplement, because I want to spend more time on a few of the articles that have come out this past week and those articles we've been discussing. We are going to move right into the article that I mentioned before the break. It was published on yesterday, February the 9th, and it was called Deep Fried Foods from NaturalNews.com Increase Risk of Developing Aggressive Prostate Cancer by 1/3. And the article starts off by talking about how prostate cancer will affect 1 in 6 men during the course of their lifetime, as nearly a quarter of a million new cases are diagnosed in the U.S. each year. So about 250,000 cases of prostate cancer are diagnosed in the United States alone each year. So that means if you're listening, it's very, very possible that you could be touched by a husband, or this disease could reach out and touch you via your husband or a brother or a father or an uncle or someone. Cousin that you know. So it's very important that you get this information to them, talk to them about it, send them this link so that they can listen and learn a little bit, get a little bit more educated with respect to some of the things that will actually increase their risk. And again, if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. Now, this article went on to say further that while many cases of disease remain localized, as a growing number of patients adopt a wait-and-see attitude toward the traditional slash, burn, and poison treatment options, aggressive forms of prostate cancer are on the rise, threatening the lives of thousands of men every year. And the author points out that a new research study conducted at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center in Seattle, Washington, has found that regular consumption of deep-fried foods is associated with an increased risk of prostate cancer. And they published this in the publication The Prostate. The science has determined the effect appears to be slightly stronger with regard to more aggressive forms of the disease. So basically, in a nutshell, the scientists determined that eating deep-fried foods actually increases the likelihood of prostate cancer overall, and even more so the aggressive forms of prostate cancer. The article went on to point out further that past studies have shown that high heat cooking methods greatly increase the risk of developing not only prostate cancer, but digestive cancers as well. So this is the first study here, though, to examine how eating fried foods increases the risk of prostate cancer. The study, scientists analyzed data from 2 prior population-based case-control studies involving a total of 1,549 men diagnosed with prostate cancer and 1,492 age-matched healthy controls. They used food questionnaires to determine consumption of foods including French fries, fried chicken, fried fish, and donuts. Frequency of eating fried foods is also assessed as part of the overall evaluation. And the research found that men who ate one or more of these foods at least weekly had an increased risk of prostate cancer that ranged from 30% to 37%. Now, that is really significant because it shows that you don't have to eat that much. You notice this, that the researchers found that men who ate one or more of these foods at least weekly had an increased risk of prostate cancer that ranged from 30 to 37%. The lead study author, Dr. Janet Stanford, commented, quote, "The link between prostate cancer and select deep-fried foods appears to be limited to the highest level of consumption, defined in our study as more than once a week, which suggests that regular consumption of deep-fried foods confers particular risk for developing prostate cancer." So if you're a male and you're eating either donut, anything that's fried, deep-fried foods, French fries, et cetera, fried chicken, whatever it is, just understand that you are increasing the likelihood, especially if you're eating, say you're eating French fries one day and another day you're eating chicken that was fried or whatever else that was fried. And you're doing this, you know, because most Americans don't eat healthy at all. We don't eat, we're so used to eating fried this or fried that that it becomes habitual when we eat it and don't even think about it. And before you know it, you're eating it several times, not only a week but a day. So just think about it. If you're eating fried bacon or fried sausage and eggs or whatnot, and then for lunch you eat something else that was fried, and then for dinner you eat something else that was fried, you're eating you're setting your prostate up for cancer, and also your gastrointestinal tract up, because these things are carcinogenic, which are cancer causing, and you're increasing the likelihood from in the range of between 30 and 37% that you're going to develop prostate cancer, and even and probably an aggressive form of it. The article went on to say that the team determined that frying dramatically increases the formation of advanced glycation end products on the surface of foods, and that triggered the formation of carcinogens. And so again, the article goes on to say that complete avoidance of foods cooked at high temperatures or fried would dramatically lower the risk of developing prostate cancer and other digestive cancers as well. So again, this is another thing that we in the natural health community have counseled against. We always counsel against eating fried foods, and that fried foods, if eaten at all, should be eaten very, very sparingly. They should not make up a consistent part of your diet, unless, of course, you want to have cancer or some other disease. But it's not, eating fried foods is not something that you want to do on a consistent basis. And men, if you are eating fried foods on a consistent basis, just know that you are increasing the likelihood that you will develop some aggressive form of prostate cancer. And we're going to move right into our healing food section. And we're going to talk about how junk food is linked to asthma in children as well as eczema, but also how whole fresh foods, again, talking about those healing foods, can actually benefit kids and actually helping them overcome these diseases. Now, the scientists have actually discovered that a serious health condition associated with fast food consumption, there are many serious health conditions associated with fast food consumption, and in particular, diseases like asthma and eczema in children. There's a new study published in the journal Thorax, and it determined that children who eat fast food three or more times per week are actually significantly more likely than other children to develop severe asthma and allergies and skin problems, i.e. eczema and psoriasis. In this study, using data compiled as a part of the International Study of Asthma and Allergies in Childhood, which included nearly 2 million children, researchers from Auckland University in New Zealand sent questionnaires to more than 500,000 children between the ages of 6 and 7 and between 13 and 14, asking them about their eating habits. They then compared this data to allergy and asthma rates to see if there was any connection. And what the team discovered was that young children who consumed at least 3 fast food meals in a week's time were about 27% more likely to develop severe asthma, and young teenagers 40% more likely to than other children who ate fewer or no fast food meals a week. So, parents, if you're taking your children to McDonald's and Burger King and Kentucky Fried Chicken, and they're eating this fast food on a pretty frequent basis, in this particular study it was 3 times a week, they were more likely. Significantly more likely, 27% more likely to develop severe asthma if they were like between 6 and 7, and young teenagers were about 40% more likely than other children who ate fewer or no fast food meals during the week. So that is very significant. So parents, just understand as well that if you're feeding your children fast food, in this particular study, on a pretty frequent basis, in this particular study, it was 3 times a week. You're actually creating an internal environment in their body that is greatly increasing the likelihood that they will develop asthma and allergies and other skin problems like eczema or psoriasis. At the same time, however, eating 3 or more servings of fruits and vegetables a week, eating in line, which you've heard me say, eating in line with the rainbow, the 7 colors of the rainbow, children who are eating 3 or more servings of fruits and vegetables a week were found to reduce these symptoms of allergies and asthma and skin problems in all age groups. And according to the data, teenagers who ate 3 or more servings of fruit and vegetables saw an 11% symptom reduction, while young children saw a 14% reduction. So if your children have these things and you feed them more in line with what I call eating in harmony with the rainbow, then you're going to even begin to decrease the symptoms of these diseases. And so this research adds to previous studies that suggest a person's diet can actually contribute to their risk for developing asthma, and actually indicates the benefit of further research to determine the effects that particular food groups can have on the chances of developing asthma or the impact it may have on its severity, said the author of this study out of New Zealand. And the study also said further that evidence suggests that the vitamins and antioxidants found in the fresh fruits and vegetables have a beneficial effect on asthma. Therefore, Asthma UK advises people with asthma to eat a healthy, balanced diet, including 5 portions of fruit or vegetables every day. And that also includes pulses, which are legumes or beans, more than once a week. Now, we're down to about 3 minutes before the show ends. And then my last article, or really discussion, rather, will be, it's in line, in harmony with that one, is that if you're a woman, if you want to reduce the risk of breast cancer, it's the same thing. It has been well established that a diet high in fruits and vegetables actually significantly lowers the risk of a wide variety of cancers, as well as providing a number of other health benefits. And just to know, often the most colorful vegetables and fruits are among the healthiest due to the pigments which they contain. And there was another study that just came out and found that women with high blood levels of the naturally occurring plant chemicals known as carotenoids actually have a significantly lower risk of breast cancer, according to a study conducted by researchers from Brigham and Women's Hospital and Harvard Medical School, published in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute. So again, the researchers in their study found by doing a meta-analysis of data from 8 separate studies on a total of 7,000 women, consisting of 80% of all published data on the link between carotenoids and breast cancer. And basically, let me back up and say, you know, and explain about carotenoids a little bit. They are actually the pigments that give plants their deep yellow, orange, or red colors. They include alpha and beta carotene, lycopene, lutein, etc. And basically, foods high in carotenoids will include foods like carrots, sweet potatoes, tomatoes, winter squash, apricots, mangoes, papayas, etc. And they have this color. And so these are kind of like the colors that you've heard me talk about this before, eating in harmony with the colors of the rainbow. We've already seen how it can help children if you cut up the fast foods and give them the foods more in harmony with the colors of the rainbow. We've seen how the study's shown that you can eliminate or drastically cut back the symptoms of asthma and allergies and some of these other things that they're having. Also, the same thing applies true, or shows to be true, if you are a woman, you may be at risk for breast cancer. Eating healthy, especially stay out of these fast food joints, but eating in harmony, the majority of your diet, colors of the rainbow. Again, Roy G. Biv, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. So, we are about out of time. I thank you for listening. I hope you've learned. I think I gave a lot of information. You can go back and listen to the broadcast again in the archive. It should be ready at blogtalkradio.com/BluesZoneWellness. Also at BluesZoneWellness.org. The archive should be available in probably the next 5 minutes or so. And so, again, if you missed it or if you joined the show late, be sure to go back and listen to that. Share it with your friends. Post it at your social network. Be sure to join me next week, same time, same place. Have a blessed week. And again, thank you for listening.